The walls might feel like they're falling in on you, but God lays upon my heart that He has an open heaven tonight. You might feel like you're crunched in, you can't move, but there's an open heaven. And God says, pour yourself out to Him tonight. Share with Him tonight. Tell Him. Declare that He is Lord, that He is sovereign, that He never changes. Is good. Confessions are good. If something is heavy on your heart, confess it to God. You forgive, He'll strengthen. Lift your burdens tonight. Ask Him to show you. Because sometimes through this, He's given us direction for our life. Sometimes He's bringing attention to a part of our life. For you, not against you. Trust in me. Trust in me, says the Lord. And sometimes we think we have faith. And we do have faith. But we think, how much more faith is it going to take to get through another day? We're doing okay for a while. We're on top. And then we get knocked back. How can I get up again? The same way that Jesus got back up carrying His cross by the strength of the Holy Spirit, and that's the only way we can do that. That's the only way of letting Him lift us. And to remember who He is. Remember what He's done in the past, He's still doing today. Because we just sang and we had to decorate. Because He lives. He is still alive. The Master rose up from the grave. He's alive today. Just as He was with His disciples on earth, He's with us today. Yes, think of that. He's with us.
Amen.
No matter how far you live, the Dresden Tyndall crew, Christ is with you.
Yes.
Even that far away. The awesome thing is, He says His angels, Bob, is watching over you. He said, I got your back. A day is coming that the wicked ones will be judged. If your heart is heavy saying, man, I try to follow the Lord and all the bad people get all the breaks. Nah. Satan's lying to you. Because Satan already saw what the bill is at the bottom, what's going to cost him and his cohorts for rebellion against God. So sad there's so many right now that are entertaining the things of the evil one. They're having the time of their life, to say it that way. Not recognizing the bill that has to be paid by them for enjoying this dance. They only knew that Jesus Christ of Nazareth has already paid that bill. If somehow we just get their eyes open to see, they haven't come to the full knowledge of Jesus Christ and the love of God. Wow. That's what we're called to do. The ugliness that we see in the world, that's our role and say, that's our agenda, I guess, you know. It's not too hard today to look around and see where your agenda is at, is there? So many people are being deceived. Don't let yourself be deceived. Don't allow yourself to be brought back down where God brought you out of. Don't think that your life was better back then. Many of us can testify today, I never had so many headaches until I became a Christian. Amen? I never had so many problems in my life. I don't mean problems. Let me put it this way. I haven't had so many heartbreaks in my life until I become a Christian. Let's put it that way. Because your heart doesn't break just for the things of yourself. It breaks for other people. When you see what they go through, or you see that they don't know. They don't know God's love yet. They've been deceived, and you want to share it with them so much. Hey, man, I've been there. I got the t-shirt, the hat, and I had the coat on layaway. You don't want to do that. And you want them to listen to you so bad. But they won't. They won't. That's how your heart breaks. Heartaches are good. It motivates us to pray. But also it shows us the power of our Lord. How many here tonight could testify through your prayer life how lives have been changed, strengthened? Amen. We can't overlook that, guys. We got to remember what God has done in the past. He's still doing that. He's still alive. You think somebody's too hard-hearted to come to Christ? Don't let it enter your head. Like Brother Bruce was saying earlier, we pray, we witness, and God might move you on, but it doesn't mean He gave up on that person. He's going to bring somebody else in. So don't let yourself get downtrodden that man, you've been doing this, you witnessed, you shared, and it hasn't changed, and you thought, man, I'm just losing this burden for them. Or maybe the Lord is moving on to the next person because someone else is coming behind you. Okay? As you do what God's called us to do, don't let Satan try to get you down. How many people pray to anybody this week hadn't been born again? I say, if you pray to somebody this week, have them be saved, born again. Now, how many people have sowed seeds this week? How many people told someone about Jesus Christ this week? Amen. Amen. That's awesome. But you got to stay focused on that. And don't let them cast us down. Don't try to thump on you. But draw closer and closer to Christ. Let the Word of God be in the center of your life. In the center. When you get up in the morning, is the Word of God you want to hear? If you get up in the morning and you don't even feel like hearing the Word of God, hear it anyway. Because it will speak to your spirit. It will strengthen you. In the afternoon and the evening times, it's the Word of God where the army is coming out of in these days. Strength, victory, overcomers. God will do what He needs to do through His people. And we truly, truly grow closer to Him and trust in Him. And as you testify, as you see what He did, I'll build your faith for the next time. You know, Matthew's got it documented. I think I still got it here. Show you a little something here in the book of Matthew. He was an apostle, a follower of Jesus. Now the 8th chapter of Matthew. We can pop down there for a second. Now, the disciples were hanging out with Jesus. You know, that's what they did. And watching all these things that Christ was doing. Because Jesus was preparing them for the ministry. I better turn the light up. Mommy, hit that light beside you. Far left. Cool. Yeah. Thank you. That way people can see you. Otherwise, you tell them anything, they had to agree with me because they couldn't read the Bible. But in the 8th chapter, the 18th verse of Matthew. So now when Jesus saw a crowd around him, he gave orders to depart to the other side of the sea, talking to the disciples. Then the scribe came and said to him, "Teacher, I will follow you wherever you go." And Jesus said to him, "The foxes have holes and the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head." Another of the disciples said to him, "Lord, permit me first to go and bury my father." But Jesus said to him, "Follow me and allow the dead to bury their own." And when he got to the boat, his disciples followed him. And behold, there arose a great storm on the sea, so that the boat was being covered with the waves, but Jesus himself, he was sleeping. They came to him and woke him up, saying, "Save us, Lord, we are perishing." And he said to them, "Why are you afraid, you men of little faith?" Then he got up and rebuked the winds of the sea, and it became perfectly calm. And the men were amazed and said, "What kind of man is this, that even the winds and the sea obey him?" Now, a couple of things that Christ was teaching his disciples, and he teaches us. First, here he says, there's a crowd, and Christ said, "Okay, we're going to depart from here. Let's go to the other side of the sea. Okay, we're going to cross this lake," put it that way. And they got in the boat. Now, do we figure that when Jesus tells us something, it's going to take place? Yeah. And we can say that a lot better today because we look back what he did 2,000 years ago, okay? But these guys, they got in the boat with them. And as they're going across the ocean or the lake there, I guess they call it a sea, the storm picked up. And they looked down and said, "Man, Jesus is sleeping. Don't he care about us? Wake up, Jesus. Come on, wake up, man." "What? There's a storm." "So? Are you not in the boat? Has anyone fell over? Has anybody drowned?" "So it's a little bit choppy, huh? Did I say it was going to be a cruise?" "No. I said, let's get in the boat. Let's go over the other side." What's over the other side? There will be more people there that wants to listen to Jesus. But because it wasn't going the way they thought it should go, "Hey, wake up, Christ, wake up, man, what's going on? We're going to drown." "All right, for you guys to have a better ride, peace, be still." And it stopped. You think, man, I mean, don't you think they should have faith in Jesus when he said we're going to go to the other side, that a storm would not scare them so bad? You would think so today because we can look back 2,000 years ago and say, duh, we know the rest of the story. But see, they were still learning. He was still showing them, hey, when I say something, I truly mean this. You know, we're going to do this. And so they said, be quiet and be still and listen to him. It said in verse 26, "And he said to them, why are you afraid, you men of little faith? Then he got up and rebuked the winds and the sea, and it became perfectly calm. The men were amazed and said, what kind of a man is this, that even the winds and the sea obey him? And when he came to the other side," verse 28, "came to the other side into the country of the," I already messed that up, "Gardenes." Thank you, Cheryl. I missed that last week, hon, when you weren't here. "Two men who were demon-possessed met him as they were coming out of the tombs. They were so extremely violent that no one could pass by that way." And what takes place as you read that? They're delivered. I'm going to go to another verse here. But they were in the boat. We're going to the other side. The disciples were scared to death. But look at one thing. Did they jump out of the boat at all? They stayed with them. I mean, where else could they go? You're in the middle of the sea going back and forth. You got Jesus with you. You're scared to death. You wake Christ up and you expect he'll take care of things. And today, we can learn the same thing. He said, when you follow me, there's going to be some persecution. There's going to be some trials your way. With how they treated me, they're going to treat you. But behold, I've overcome the world. Okay? He tells you up front. That way, when we get in the midst of this persecution, we get in the midst of people rejecting the gospel, we won't be so offended by that because he already told us this will take place. But, whoa, I'm with you. I'm with you to the end. And through this one thing that he did, this calming the sea, I believe it helped build up the disciples on who Jesus truly is. Because if we look over here in Matthew, if we jump over here to the 14th chapter of Matthew, it's funny, Peter was a fisherman, but Matthew did all the documentation when they were going fishing, huh? But 14th chapter, verse 22. What's that?
Peter was busy fishing,
so Matthew had to do the documentation here. Okay. Now, this is right after Jesus just fed 5,000 people. Well, 5,000, probably 10,000 people. 5,000 men, so it could have been 15,000 people. Just cleaned up all the bread. It says, verse 22, immediately he made the disciples get into the boat and go ahead of him to the other side, while he sent the crowds away. Now, I wonder if Peter was kind of leery getting back in his boat now, you know? Last time we had a big storm come up. But after he had sent the crowds away, Jesus went up on the mountain by himself to pray, and when it was evening, he was there alone. But the boat was already a long distance from the land, so it's quite way out there because Christ has finished sending everybody else away. Up on the mountain and praying for a while. I think, oh, I'll catch up the boat right now. And the boat's a long distance away. Being battered by the waves, for the wind was contrary. So you can see Peter's out there now in the middle of another back and forth, you know. He's probably wondering, why am I out here now? Where's Jesus at? But in the fourth watch, which I believe that would be about 3 o'clock in the morning, if I remember correctly, Jesus came then walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were terrified and said, "It is a ghost!" And they cried out in fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them, saying, "Take courage, it is I. Do not be afraid." But Peter said to him, "Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water." And he said, "Come." Peter got out of the boat and walked on the water and came towards Jesus. Now, a couple things I want to point out before we continue in the scripture here. This is Peter walking on water, the same one who was scared to death a couple chapters back when the boat was being tossed back and forth. This is Peter who was so afraid that they was going to be sucked down into that sea and drown, that he had to wake Jesus up. But now he's walking on water. See, you might think I was just a small little miracle, but when he saw Jesus speak to that storm and calmed it, look at the faith that it built up in Peter. That same thing that he was scared about not too long ago, he is walking on it. Another thing that just jumped out maybe a minute ago, where you guys having praise and worship, is Peter was not baptized in the Holy Spirit yet. Look what his faith in Jesus allowed him to do. You say, yeah, but you know, Jesus calls him to walk on the water. No. It says, "Take courage, as I do not be afraid." And Peter said then, "Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water." And he said, "Come." He said, "If this is you, tell me to come." Was it Jesus walking on the water? Was it? Okay. What else could he say? Could he say, "Don't come"? No, he'd be not himself. He's Jesus. Or he said, "Okay, if that's really you, Jesus, tell me to come." come. And he stepped up on the water with the faith that he has in Jesus. Man. And there he is walking towards the master. But then all of a sudden, he said, oh man. He realized, hey, I'm walking on the same stuff that I thought was going to kill me the last time. He took his eyes off the master and says he starts to sink. And Peter got out of the boat and walked on the water and came towards Jesus. Now you realize right now, I don't see in the scriptures here, and you read a couple of different translations too. I don't see anybody else in the boat saying, no, Peter, don't do it. Where's his buddy at? I think they're watching like, okay, what Peter's going to do now? You go ahead and do it. I'll sit back here and see what happens. You know? And he walked on the water. Couldn't you imagine the other disciples in the boat? Oh man, I wish that was me. I should have stepped out with him. I could see us being the four disciples and Brother Bob is Peter. And he just stepped out of the boat and we're going, wow, man. Look at that dude. I thought Peter was nuts, but look what he's doing. Wow. Hey, guys, come on. Let's all walk out there with him. Want to? And we get close to the edge. All of a sudden, he starts thinking, oh, man, that guy's crazy, isn't he? You know what I'm saying? Because the minute he took his eyes off of Jesus, he started falling to the same thing that he thought was trying to kill him. But seeing the wind, he became frightened and beginning to sink. I'm in verse 30 now. He cried out, Lord, save me. And immediately Jesus stretched out his hand and took hold of him and said to him, you have little faith, why do you doubt? And when they got into the boat, the wind stopped, and those who were in the boat worshipped him, saying, you are certainly God's son. Now, again, I want to look at this. He says in verse 30, but seeing the wind, he became frightened. Beginning to sink, he cried out, Lord, save me. It says immediately, Jesus stretched out his hand. It didn't say, Jesus, wait a little while. Well, I got to teach Peter a lesson here. You have little faith? No. I mean, he said, well, you have little faith. But I think he was blessed, Jesus was, that he had some faith at all. Thank God they stepped out. Okay? But immediately he reached out. So, folks, he's teaching us tonight that as we step out on faith and we follow him and we get our eyes off him and we say, oh man, I'm going to mess up. He's there to pick us back up again. Now, what would Peter have done? Here, he's starting to sink, Bruce. He's starting to sink. Okay? Because, you know, whatever reason was, hey, tell me to come, Lord. I mean, me, I would say, hey, can I see your ID? Can I see a driver's license or something? But to say, that's really you, let me walk out here on the... Wow, he said that. Wow. I just wonder. I just wondered, was he trying to prove something to the disciples behind him? Well, I don't know. Of all the things that tell Jesus, to prove it to me, but he stepped out on the boat. When he started to sink, Jesus was there to raise him back up again. Put him back in the boat. And he calmed the sea again. And folks, that's the same Jesus that you and I follow. He said, follow me, be choppy times. We see the disciples, and as what they went through, Jesus used that to build their faith. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. In their case, faith comes by hanging out with Jesus. You know what I'm saying? And when we read the Scriptures, it's there to build our faith. And you might think, well, but I'm not an apostle. I'm not. No, they are disciples. Apostles start churches, okay? So they're apostles and disciples. They're followers of Jesus. And so what he wants us to have faith in him, just like Peter's faith had to grow, so do ours. But no, man, this God is still the same today. And again, they get into the boat, and they say, they worship him, you're surely the Son of God. When they had crossed over, they came to the land of Gennesaret, and when the men that place recognized Jesus. They sent word into all that surrounding district and brought to him all who were sick, and they implored him that they might just touch the fringe of his coat and be healed. The minute they got him over to the other side, the minute they got Jesus, hey, look what happened to other people. Once they got through this storm, once their faith built, they were able to step out with the Master, and people's lives were changed because of their faith in the Lord. Wow, think of that. And we're the same today as our faith in the Lord allows us to do things that we thought was impossible, and people see that, lives are going to be changed because of that. But building our faith in Him. And the last one I want to touch base on is clear in the book of Genesis. That's a very, no, I'm sorry, Exodus. I believe I want to be in the 14th chapter of Exodus. Probably about verse 10 is what I'll be plowing around. I won't be reading the whole thing, but what I'm referring to will be from verse 10 and around over to verse 27, right around there. But what we have here in Exodus is when God's people have been delivered from Egypt. Right before this, we had the 10 plagues that God had sent, let Moses do, in order to get God's people who was crying out to him for deliverance. 10 plagues trying to get Pharaoh's heart to release his people. There were gnats, there were frogs, there was water turning into blood, all kind of stuff was taking place. So they saw a mighty move of God's hand. And next thing you know, here it is, the Israelites are being released. They got all the gold and stuff from the Egyptians. They're packed up, several million of them are headed out. Man, what a party was going on. Delivered, no longer a slave. Thank you, Jehovah. Thank you for bringing us out. Wow, praise God. Oh, Moses, you're fantastic. Man, just, wow. Woo-hoo. I'm glad God sent you. So they go on, they continue. But they continued to travel, they looked back and saw that Pharaoh, verse 10, drew near. The sons of Israel looked, and behold, the Egyptians were marching after them. Hey, they just released us. Now they're coming back after us. Oh. And they became very frightened. So the sons of Israel cried out to the Lord. Then they said to Moses, is it because they were no graves in Egypt that you have taken us away to die in the wilderness? Why have you dealt with us in this way, bring us out of Egypt? Is this not the word that we spoke to you in Egypt, saying, leave us alone that we may serve the Egyptians? For it would have been better for us to serve the Egyptians than to die in the wilderness. Isn't it sad? Isn't it sad? God's people crying out to Jehovah, crying out for him to make a move, crying out that God release us. We're tired of being slaves. Come and set us free. God hears them and says, okay, I'm doing my part. You got to do your part. And how quickly, when things aren't so nice that people want to turn back against God and back against God's people and want to blame them for the problems. It's better if we just stayed in Egypt. At least we had food, we had place. We didn't have to worry about nothing. Look how quick. Man, and I'll tell you, Moses is awesome. Can you imagine having several million people upset with you now? We blame you for it. Your fault. I would have jumped in a rowboat and crossed the Red Sea by myself. Okay, guys, got it. Brother, boys, you asked me to. They're on their own now. But Moses didn't do that. Why? Because he was called by God to do a job. From the very beginning, he tried to talk God out of them. God said, okay, you're going to go and set my people free. No. I don't speak very good. I'm not very elegant, you know. He gave him a bunch of excuses. But God gave his brother Aaron, he'll speak for you. So finally, when he was convinced that God was going to use him, he committed himself. You know what? He did not turn back. When the people turned against him, that's okay. He wasn't worried about the people. He was serving God. He was serving Jehovah. He was not trying to win a fan club. He wasn't trying to get people to like him. He was called by God to do a specific task, and he was going to do it whether people liked him or not. And folks, may we have the same skin that Moses has. That whether people like it or we've been called, ordained by God to share the gospel of Jesus Christ and for their own good, and shall we never take it personal, may we never ever have our skin get weak where we say, oh, forget it. But when you tell Jesus, yes, you, we better mean it. Amen? Count the cost. And Moses saw right away when he agreed with God, he went down there to tell people who he was. They reject him already. Hey, you're the one that murdered that guy a while back, right? Right away. And so they're thinking, okay, if he had enough guts to stand up for his people, now God sent him, so we got somebody that at least got some guts around here. Might not be what he did, but God was using him. And we need the same eyes that recognize how God can use us, you and me, ordinary people. But you know, the lives that you touch are not ordinary. Just people are right now say, oh, thank God that Jody came into my life. Or thank God that Jim came into my life. Or thank God that Bob came into my life. Because you shined the light. You did this. You did that. Oh, thank God for Lori. All of you. You don't realize how much you have helped people. And you just take it for granted. I mean, I don't mean for granted. You just take it like, okay, I'm on the line, like, this is what I do. The difference that you're making in people's lives for the Master. But here's Moses, there he is, got the Red Sea. People are ready to turn his back on him. And can you imagine? I mean, I can imagine. I mean, you're already hyped up, man, we're going to the Promised Land, we got all this. Oh, fantastic. And now you got this Red Sea. And you have people come behind you and want to kill you. Moses lifts up his staff. And Jehovah, God parts the Red Sea. Now, I might say he does about the last minute to do that. The sea is parted, the ground's dried up, and his people walk across. What would have happened if God wanted to save a little bit of conflict and wanted to keep people from yelling at Moses so much? If a couple of days earlier, if God would just part of the Red Sea then before they got there. I mean, come on, you're going to be released. Was that free from Egypt? Why did he wait so long? Well, I'm going to take a guess, and I would say this, and that's what happens to our lives. Sometimes they mean, why did God wait the last second? Because I believe if he would have opened up the Red Sea a day earlier, the enemy would have got there before they did, been on the other side of there, and they would have walked in, they would have walked into a trap and been annihilated. Amen. God's timing is always perfect for those who follow Him. Amen. So you got to trust in Him. When things aren't going the way you thought they should and you are following God's Word, trust in Him knowing that He is working out the details. Now we understand. Wow, part of the Red Sea the last moment. Why? Because He's going to get His people across here. And then He was going to crush the enemy. Don't touch my anointed. Did God not say that I will deliver you? Did Moses say God sent me to deliver you? How can one guy do? Hey, if God says it, trust in Him. That's where He wants us to be at, guys. Have that faith. We see to those who came before us how God works. Sometimes it's like right now. Other times it's a little bit longer. But He always comes through. He never lies to us. But we got to recognize we have to do our part. And that's the hard part. Because that is where your knees rubbed red from praying and fasting and seeing these things. But I'm telling you what, it's worth it. It's worth it to see people come to know Jesus. It's worth it to see yourself to be delivered. There's nothing that God cannot do. As He delivered the Israelites from Egypt when they thought they could never get out, God will do the same thing to do, deliver you from whatever sin that you're wrapped up in that you just can't get out of it. You cannot do it, but Jesus Christ, the Nazarene, can do that through you. Because greater He is in you, guys, and He's in the world. And again, Peter walked on the water before he was even baptized in the Holy Spirit. And look what he did. Afterwards, man, his shadow even healed people. He stood up in front of people, preaching the gospel to those who killed Jesus. And here we are, the Holy Spirit to give us strength and guidance. We just have faith and believe in Him. And do what He's called us to do. And don't faint. Don't get weary. Don't give up. Don't let the things of this world... I mean, there you're back in that crowd there. We're going to survive. Watch out. What are we going to do here? Well, go back to Egypt. We'll be better the other way. Just trust in God. Learn from what they didn't learn very well. They didn't learn much at all because none of them made it to the promised land. Except for Joshua and Caleb. He parted the Red Sea. They crossed it. They complained for 40 years because things weren't right with them. They didn't like the food they had. I mean, maybe learn at least one thing. Remember, this place is not our home. We're just passing through, Brother Bob. Just passing through. So may I help you not to be so attacked all the time, and I've been down so much that, and we're here to serve others, not ourselves, and we're here to serve Jesus, and let the rest of it have a duck's back. A duck's back, yeah. Water runs off a duck's back. Amen. And we're covered with the blood of Christ. Do that. Amen. Questions, comments tonight, guys? He just, man, just trust in me. God, not me. God says trust in Him. Trust me too, but God is the one He wants you to.